Now I'm going to give you a heads up. The bishop next week is preaching on this same passage, but expanded a few more verses, so please don't compare me to the bishop. That's not fair to me. With that, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock, our redeemer, and our light. Amen. So this morning I bring to you our very last classical Christmas story. I couldn't do this season without Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I had this idea of having the kids come up and sing it, but without Sunday school to practice it, I feel like it's not fair to ask them cold turkey to come on up. So we shall pretend that we heard Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? Unless y'all want to sing it, y'all want to sing it? I'm a little scared I would forget the words somewhere along there. Has anybody noticed how often I forget the words to the Lord's Prayer and stumble upon them? It's not my fault, it's my brain's fault. Well, anyways, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. If you don't know the story behind it, it was written by actually an advertising copywriter of Montgomery Ward in 1939. His name was Robert Louis May. And his intention was to use the story to attract families to come to shop for their toys at Montgomery Ward instead of the competitor, Sears. Okay? Now, let's do a really short pop quiz. Montgomery Ward and Sears. How many are loyal of Montgomery Ward? How many are loyal of Sears? Ah, we got a few there. And how many people are saying, Pastor, Montgomery Ward doesn't exist anymore? Couple in the back. Well, it was an advertising campaign. But a decade later, Robert May's brother-in-law, Johnny Marks, took the story, put it to music, and recruited the great Gene Autry to record it, the song that is still so beloved today. Eventually, it was made into a movie. How many of us have seen the classic, either the animated or the claymation? What a great story it is. Well, the story follows a misfit reindeer by the name of Rudolph, who is outcast by the reindeers and even Santa Claus, being mocked because of this nose that was bright and shiny red. In the later edition, when it came to be a movie, Rudolph meets Hermie, an elf who does not want to make toys, but sees that there are no elf dentists and that teeth needed care, and he was called and feeling strongly of needing to be a dentist. He, like Rudolph, was mocked and teased and an outcast because of this calling to take care of teeth instead of build toys. Rudolph became a misfit and an outcast because of his outward appearance, and Hermie the elf became an outcast and a misfit because of what he inwardly saw himself to be. The two of them end up in what of all places but the island of misfit toys. All of those outcasts, all of those pushed from society that have gathered together. Today we have many misfits still, many who would consider themselves outcasts, whether it's because of their inward or outward appearance. Anyone who is different, outcast, or discriminated against because of who they genuinely are. Well, being a misfit, it can be a pretty dark experience, but on today of all days, we remember that Jesus came to be what? But the light of the world for all who are in darkness, all who are there, whether they are there by chance, by choice, or by circumstance. As the prophet Isaiah predicted, he said, "The people of darkness have seen a great light." and we are reminded that that light is Christ, our final candle lit upon our Advent wreath. Now, when we think about Jesus, we realize that he was a leader of misfits, was he not? The disciples were misfits and somewhat outcast because of their profession and who they were. He hung out with women, Samaritans, tax collectors, sinners of all kinds, lepers, the lame, and the least among society. He was even hung between two thieves, one of whom he saved. Now, scientifically, we can see it. Light overcomes darkness. Just flick the switch in a room, flick the switch on a flashlight, or with technology today, use the flashlight app on your phone, right? Any of those switches turns on the light and dispels the darkness. There is no switch of darkness that you can flip and find the darkness overcoming the light, for that is the natural ability of light to overcome the darkness. And we, my friends, are not defined by our darkness or our dark moments or our dark periods. For our times of light and when we shine dispel those as well. For we are God's people and defined by God's light that is within us. Writer Barbara Johnson, I think, said it best as she said, "Faith is seeing light with your heart when all your eyes can see is darkness." Faith is light shining in us. As children of the light, we remember through Christ's story and Rudolph's story that we all deserve to be loved, we are all loved, and we are called to be love in this world today. Rudolph in the story, in trying to fit in, tries to cover up his nose, and momentarily he's able to play with the other reindeer, playing in the reindeer games and even excelling at them. He tried to cover up the greatest gift that he had just to fit in. But that cover fell off and his light shined. And momentarily it was once again mocked and rejected. But what happens if you know the story? One Christmas Eve, the fog rolls in and the sleigh can't drive because of it. Apparently, elves could make toys, but could not make headlights for a sleigh, right? And Santa didn't know what to do. And in the book, Santa is trying to see his list of the kids that he needs to go visit. And all of a sudden, there is a light, and he's able to see, and he looks at the elves and says, "How did this light come to be?" And Rudolph says, "It's me." And Santa, in that moment, Santa, who had mocked and teased Rudolph, sees the gift, embraces Rudolph, puts him in the key position in the very front of the sleigh, and says, "You will guide us tonight." And Rudolph, from that point, becomes the most revered reindeer of all time. Why? Because of the light that was shining from him. Think about in our scripture, when Jesus tells the parable, he says, "If you have a light that's shining in your room, will you put a bushel over it?" And what does the song tell us? "Hide it under a bushel." Some of you know it. No, I'm gonna let it shine, right? We are called to not try to cover up the light that shines in us. Tonight, not try to hide the Christ that is in us. But instead, we are called to discover where the dark places are around us and to have the faith and the courage to shine God's light within them. To close, an addition that I added this morning, as yesterday we lost one of Christ's great children, Desmond Tutu, bishop and world changer, one of the movers and shakers in the apartheid movement in South Africa. At 90 years old, he is a man that will truly be missed, but his impact will go on. And he is quoted as saying this: "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's all about those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world." My friends, as we remembered on Christmas Eve, as we passed the light and each held our own small little candle, we were reminded that we each have our little bit of light that shines, and when all of us shine them, the world becomes bright and the darkness is overcome. So as we go from this place to continue the Christmas Eve, this Christmas season, may Christ's light shine in each of us for others to see. Amen.